Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
There aren't any Jasons 12 and under. That's a dead name.
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
How many kids do you hear, hey, Marky, it might be almost to the point of Ruth.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
You love that name so much, you don't even go by it.
On 100.5 ESPN.
If you call me Mark, I like my name. I like my name a lot.
The ESPN Wisconsin app.
Wilde and Tosh.
And ESPN Madison on YouTube.
It's Wilde and Touch, isn't it?
This is Wilde and Tosh, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Monday edition. The how was your 4th of July edition. The remember when Tausch would say that Jordan Love doesn't have to be Superman? Well, you also don't have to be a Superman in a full costume at Summerfest unless you'd like some attention. And that worked. A little bit of a distraction as we started the State of the Packers, which we will hear some of today edition. And the Jeff Passan, what are you doing here? The MLB insider for ESPN, scheduled to appear without Jesse here. Edition.
I can't believe that.
I know. Should have changed his schedule just so Jesse could be here.
Yeah, I don't even know if I like that. Part of the fun of that is Jeff Passan breaking down his bowling stuff.
Indeed. Well, we'll have to somehow soldier on. On Wilde and Tausch on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam, ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker, streaming live video, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and of course everything you need on the all-new, all-redesigned, all-free, all-customizable, so you can put Wilde and Tausch in that first little spot. ESPN Wisconsin app, which you can find both in the Apple and Android app stores. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay. In the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios is our cousin sub of the day for Jesse. Cousin subs, we believe in better. Had that for lunch over the weekend. It is Hunter Vaughn. Hunter, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing great. Had a great 4th of July weekend. Super excited to be here with you guys for the next 3 days.
3 days?
Yeah.
Just wait, 3 days? What?
Yeah, Jesse didn't tell you guys? I'm pretty sure
no.
He's off in the next
he's off
3 days.
Week? No, yeah. I'm pretty sure he's. I was pretty sure he's hosting tomorrow, so we better fact check that.
I don't know. Jesse doesn't. I just know I'm producing the next 3 days.
Promise undisclosed.
Hey, Hunter, you know what? You did a great job last week. I'm listening to your Sports Center, and you're obviously a big Chestnut fan, or you don't put that in your Sports Center.
I just thought it was a fun thing to put in there.
It's all right to be a Chestnut fan. The dude, he reeks of excellence and hot dog water. But he's you can say what you want.
God, that was a good
the
line.
Dude's excellent at what he does. There's something to be said. And I know, well, is it a sport? Is it not? Oh, there's all of those things. And you can have that argument. What you cannot argue is he, in his chosen field, is the best of the best of the best. And there's something admirable about that. Whether or not you agree, and I know Peter King got up on his little soapbox, oh, it's disgusting, oh, but people like it. It doesn't hurt anybody other than whatever you make hot dogs out of. So, but what I didn't understand is a hot dog a glitzy? Is that what you said, a glizzy?
A glizzy. You've never heard of
I've
a hot dog?
I've never heard that.
Oh, yeah, no. That's how the kids, that's what the kids call hot dogs these days, glizzies.
They call them glizzies.
Yeah, Joey Chestnut eating 70 and a half glizzies.
Jason, have you ever heard of a hot dog being called a glizzy?
No, I thought that that was what they called glazers from Quick Trip.
No, those are glazers. The glizzy's the hot dog, which you can also get at Quick Trip.
Why do we call them glizzies since you're so young and cool?
I don't know. That's just what the kids say. So,
glizzy.
Question, how do you know what the kids say? Hunter, you feel like an old soul.
I spend a little bit too much time on the TikTok and social media, so
okay.
You know.
Well, here you go.
Right. Yeah,
glizzy
right.
is slang that can refer to either a hot dog or, in some contexts, a weapon. The term glizzy for a hot dog gained popularity around 2020. Potentially originating in the Washington, D.C. area. So there you go. I'm going to stick
what
with
do you mean
hot
a weapon?
Dog, though.
Like, what do you mean weapon? You're talking about a gun?
Because
I want to know. I don't want to use this.
When I
well,
sidestep
I don't use it in the
in
wrong way.
Manner, do you think that I want you to ask a follow up question there?
I like want to be educated.
You could sense the hesitation in my voice.
Yes, I did.
Okay.
I did.
All right. Well,
that,
since you asked,
yes.
Or in some contexts, a gun, specifically
okay.
a Glock.
That's what I thought.
The hot
Whoa,
dog meaning
Nelly.
Is a more recent slang term, while the gun meaning is older, stemming from hip-hop
culture. I'm not
going
to lie to you. I don't think... Like
I don't think we should call them glizzies. That's just my opinion.
No, there's sometimes things can have a couple of different meanings. There. I don't understand how you can go from meaning a hot dog to a Glock. Like, I have a hard time comprehending how. And again, I'm getting old. I get it. So I don't understand that part of it, but I'm not sure how we get there.
So what about a hot dog and a wiener
yeah.
being used in two different contexts? That one makes more sense?
It makes a lot more sense, yes.
Okay,
more sense.
Whoa, Nelly!
Well, maybe I won't be producing the next 3 days.
I just would say change the 10 o'clock sports center, you'll be fine. All right, so did you watch any of Joey Chestnut? Because I missed it. And I do enjoy watching it. I like watching the other competitors who I feel like when Chestnut is there, they're kind of just there for the free hot dogs. So they kind of pace themselves knowing they're not going to win.
You don't go to a hot dog eating contest just to – you don't shove 35 – if you're going to get free hot dogs, you go to a baseball game late and they're like firing the leftover hot dogs. You're not going to stuff 35 – hot dogs down your gullet. But I almost think, you know how in Connecticut the women's team was so good that everybody
mm-hmm.
thought college basketball should maybe just shut it down for a little bit because it's not – we're at that point. Chestnut didn't go last year and nobody cared. Some dude won it with like 40-some-odd dogs or glizzies, if you will. And now
Wieners.
This year – and now this year – he routes everybody, and it's a coronation again, but can you coronate another coronation? Like, how many coronations is it before you're out-coronated?
It's like hot dogs on top of hot dogs.
It doesn't make a ton of sense. So unless somebody is up for the challenge, a la South Carolina or Notre Dame, I don't think this hot dog eating contest can continue with Chestnut just doing what he did to these guys last week. I don't think that's sustainable.
So what is – because you are, at your core, a problem solver.
Yeah, you're not going to like
you have never met
this
a problem
answer.
you could not fix
it. I have
met
a solution for
something that was working fine that you didn't feel like you needed to fix anyway.
I do have the solution for it, and I don't think anybody's going to love this, but I believe the hot dog eating contest is going to need to go to a golf format, and I think it's going to need to be handicapped. That's what I think needs to happen.
Well, tell me more.
Well, if Joey Chestnut can eat 72 dogs and the next best contender can eat 48, we're going to have to bridge that gap. And you're going to have to give, like in golf, you give six strokes an 18, the top six hardest holes, I get a stroke on you. I think in the hot dog eating contest, we're going to have to start handicapping this. If you're going to continue to put this as a marquee event on the 4th of July,
mm-hmm.
there's nobody within 10 to 15 dogs of Chestnut. I don't think there's any up-and-comers that are taking him on. So you're going to have to handicap it. That's what I think we need to do.
So are there other Hunter, you seem to be the expert on the panel on this. Are there other hot dog eating contests that are staged throughout the calendar year? I mean, this is the Super Bowl, but do they have, like, the NFC wild card round or the play-in tournament in the NBA for competitive eating, or do I not know?
I know they have regional ones. Like, one of the competitors in his intro, he was the winner of the Kansas City regional one. So,
it was a tough regional. He was probably playing at home like the Badgers should have been.
Yeah, and it's like you've got that. I believe he was also from like St. Louis, so just across the state for him. So I know they do that, and then like there were other guys who I can't remember some of the other like eating contests there were. Like there was one like a shrimp eating contest and different things like that.
Shrimp.
One of the warm up acts was a lemonade chugging contest. One of the guys did not hold down the lemonade. It was amazing. When it comes to the eating contests, I think people need to just embrace the gross and just be like, you know what? I'm going to see something incredibly disgusting today, but it's the most disgusting thing I will ever see, and just embrace it and have fun with it.
Have you ever considered entering one?
I did a pie eating contest once.
Blueberry?
Did not do well. It was blueberry. didn't do well. With some friends, did a like Swiss cake roll eating contest, and that was about 15 years ago, and I have yet to eat another one. I made it halfway through the package, like, and I was just like, I can't do this anymore.
Like Krispy Kreme donuts for some of us on the panel. Wait a minute. So what do you mean you didn't do well in the blueberry pie eating contest? What does not doing well look like?
Were they pies, or was it a big?
Yeah.
No, it was a full pie.
Without and, your hands? Or
yep,
you,
no
like
hands.
We gotta put your face in it?
Yep. I maybe made it about halfway through, and the two guys next to me were just already done. And I was like, this is absurd. Like, I felt sick after, and these guys just housed these pies.
So you didn't refund the pies.
No.
So that would be worse. You just got your butt kicked.
Yep. Yep.
Okay. Well,
first off, they shouldn't do full pies. Like, it should be small pies. If you're going to do a pie eating contest, it's got to be small pies.
They do full glizzies. Nobody wants with Nathan's.
All right, stop with the glizzies.
Yeah, no, I understand. I understand that it's full glizzies, but pies, it needs to be smaller pies.
So you're thinking like a small, still a like circular pie, not like those ones that are pre-wrapped.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. So Tausch, if you didn't watch the hot dog eating contest and you didn't participate in one, like
I just admire greatness. I admire greatness, and I think Chestnut is great at what he does. And anytime you can be that much better in a field this isn't like it's just getting started. This is a mature competition now, and this is the Super Bowl of those competitions. And for someone to consistently, I am now putting Chestnut in the same vernacular as Rafa Nadal on clay at Roland Garros. He dominates a certain venue like nobody else does. it's just the reality of where we're at. Now, is it the same amount of appreciation? No. But is it in the same vernacular? Yes, it is. You go to Nathan's, you go up to the Jersey Shore, and you're thinking hot dog eating. Chestnut is the Rafa of that. And Rafa has been, there's nobody, like Jack Nicklaus won a bunch of Masters, but there are a bunch he didn't win. Rafa went, I want to say 13 out of 14 years winning it, and nobody, even the one of the greats of all time, couldn't compete with him at his peak. That's what Chestnut has done at the Jersey Shore. Which sounds absurd, but it's the reality.
Rafael Nadal at Roland Garros in his career, 112 wins, 4 losses.
2 to Joker.
14-0 in finals.
Robin Soderling. Nobody will know that, but except Robin you. Soderling, because that gave Federer his only French Open, which I appreciate because I wanted Fed to get the Grand Slam. That would have been a big miss for him. And I don't know who the fourth person was to beat him at the French.
So, first of all, you should take some sort of a victory lap because I don't know how you had that Robin Soderling reference.
Dude, he's
on
the only because Jason, he's the only guy that beat him in like 18 years. And I think he lost all of his other ones at the end of his career.
Yeah, so he withdrew from the 2023 French Open. He also withdrew from the 2016 French Open. He was playing Marcel Grandoliers. I'm not familiar with his game. But he obviously, then he lost his final appearance. What's his correct name?
I don't know.
Okay, good. I'm glad I'm not the only one. He lost to Alexander Zverev at
now
the French
in the
last year.
Yeah.
Okay. So, there you go. That's your answer. There you go. So, what did you do? Did you watch Wimbledon? Did you go to fireworks? Did you see a drone show? What did you do for your 4th of July?
We did. It didn't really go per se. There's a parade. There was cookouts. There's pool parties. There was golf. And then there was some baseball. So that was kind of the gist of our weekend. It wasn't. And there was Eleanor made a fantastic to take over to a cookout to a fantastic blueberry pie. Not main quality, but she put stars. She cut these little cutout stars to, you know, festivitize it and 4th of July pies it. And that's, I thought that added, instead of latticing it, she put the stars on top of the blueberries.
Love it.
And it was nice and warm. It was a beautiful pie. And we grabbed some vanilla ice cream from Quick Trip and the bells of the ball when we got there.
Well, isn't it great to have kids that know how to do that sort of stuff? We had these little fruit pizzas that Maddie made, and she used blueberries for the field where the stars would be, and then strawberries sliced for the stripes. They were unbelievably good. That was, we didn't take those anywhere. We kept those for ourselves, and we went to Summerfest and did the State of the Packers show. Got to see our friend David Gruber, who stopped by. We had a bunch of fans stop by. And we had Superman, or someone who fancies himself as Superman, come visit us as well. We'll talk a little bit about that a little bit later. We need to get ready for Jeff Passan to join us to talk baseball. It's
big
always
woo. Big woo with a big day yesterday. Couldn't be happier for big woo.
And while this Superman imposter I found a little obnoxious, when it comes to Windows, the Superwoman, who is authentic as all get out, is Gina Della and Pella sleek. Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
And very sleek and resilient. Gina's very resilient. And for Windows with the strongest resilience, you need the Pella Experience. The Pella Experience Center lets you see and feel and open and close and compare dozens of windows and door options from 7 different Pella lines side by side. Stop by soon, because if you order by July 31st, you can get 0% interest for up to 5 years. Certain restrictions do apply. Visit the Pella Experience Center in Brookfield or schedule your free in-home consultation today at PellaWI.com.
Can we tell people what we got going on with Pella later in the week, or is that still a secret?
What do we got going on?
I guess I'll tell you about it during the break.
Oh, we're going down there this week. Yeah, well, yeah, okay. I'm not going to tell you 4 days in advance. We'll give you plenty of notice, but we are going down to the Brookfield Pell Experience Center. What is that, Thursday this week that we're going?
I thought you weren't going to tell us in advance.
I wasn't going to, but it would be super awkward if I didn't now after you broached the subject. Is it Thursday? Is that when we're going?
I believe so, yes. So,
all right.
We got that to look forward to.
Any of us know this show's schedule this week.
Good deal.
I think I might. More next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
It's on the sky and the stars glow for you. Go see the world because it's all so brand new. Don't close your eyes because your future's ready to shine. It's just a matter of time.
We got to get ready for Jeff Passan, so we'll get to the State of the Packers show from Summerfest that we did on Saturday a little bit later in the program. If you listened last week leading into the 4th of July, I took a couple of days off, and while I was away, the hosts and Hunter decided to play What Item from Facebook Marketplace Might You Be Interested In? And so I do think that there's an opportunity there. I wish I would have had the opportunity to come on and discuss some of the fine items that are available.
Well, we've been mandated by your wife to not do that, so we just want to make sure we're being respectful.
I have those 100 Wiffle golf balls, if you're interested.
Why?
Priced at $10.
I don't know why anyone would want 100 Wiffle ball golf balls.
Yeah, maybe there's been some interest. Not from you, though.
I think it's crazy that you have that many Wiffle golf balls for somebody that doesn't even golf.
Yeah, well, we've got our little driving range in the backyard, and we've upgraded now, so we don't need them anymore.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay.
And the girls are cooking, but they don't need the Wiffle balls anymore. I don't have any extra pickleball balls because I was tuned in for that discussion, and maybe I needed to put like a ruler or something next to the ball so you could see that they were golf ball sized as opposed to pickleball size. How many pickleballs do you need when you're a good pickleball player like yourself? How many do you need on hand?
Three. You want to have three in your bag, probably, because they crack. They do crack.
And do you serve them like you did when you were a tennis player, where you had both, I assume, I don't know, I didn't get to watch you play tennis. I never had the pleasure. But did you have both balls for the two serves, you know, one in your pocket, and then if your first serve was in, you didn't play it, and if you went to your second serve, you had it?
The boys over at the Pickler have been saying, bring your family over there. If you think that you need a pickleball, it's not tennis, bro. You don't serve two, but you get one.
I've only played three points, so I don't know.
There you go. So, well, get over there and get yourself right because it's not like you go for a big first serve. It's one serve.
Okay, no lets.
It's not Wimbledon.
It is not. It's the Pickler located on Holmgren Way. I mean, technically, I'm not sure which street it's on. But
yeah, we got a couple big announcements coming up down in the Milwaukee areas, too.
Wow.
That will be at the ESPN Milwaukee Open, I just found out. So, yeah, there's all kinds of fun stuff.
What?
Yeah.
Is it a bigger announcement than the fact that we're going to be at Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin's showroom on Thursday?
All of our partners are important to us. I didn't ask you which is your favorite kid, did I?
I think you actually have at different times during the show.
It's been a while.
I'll tell you my favorite bank. It's Associated Bank. When I make all those big money sales on Facebook Marketplace, I put that money in the girls' college funds, and those funds go into Associated Bank because I trust them with my money, and you should too. And if you haven't made the switch, what are you waiting for? You get the best customer service in the industry. It includes early pay, so you get access to your direct deposit up to 2 days early. It includes credit monitoring. Found out my credit score looks really good. I'm happy with it right now. And, of course, fraud protection, which I experienced firsthand. They made sure they had my back at Associated Bank. So go to AssociatedBank.com to find out more. Jeff Passan of ESPN scheduled to appear next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
On the air, on demand, on social, on Wisconsin sports. Serving Wisconsin sports fans. This is 100.5 ESPN.
Joining us now, and I have mixed feelings about this, Tausch, because I love Jeff Passan. I've read him dating back to his days at Yahoo Sports with Uncle Charles Robinson, Sidney's godfather. Love his work. We're always smarter when he joins us. We're always lucky to get him because, as we have learned from previous calls, he has some phone numbers that he has put into his phone as do not answer. And we're not them yet. But Jesse's not here for it. And I'm surprised that Jesse would be so selfless as to book him on a day that he's not here. Joining us now, everything you need to know about baseball comes from this guy on ESPN. It is Jeff Passan on Wilde and Tausch. Jeff, good morning. Are you missing Jesse already?
Do you really think it's selflessness, or do you think he knows what's coming and wants to avoid it?
Tomato, tomato, sure.
All right, fair enough. I don't look at this as some sort of benevolent act by him. I think he just is a little bit scarred that every time I come on, I manage to find something to make fun of him for. I don't blame him. Like, getting bullied is no fun. And apparently I've turned into that.
Well, here's the thing, and Tausch can probably better explain it because I still can't believe it happened. But the Brewers were scuffling not that long ago, and Jesse pulled a, I'm not saying, I'm just saying, we should be having a conversation about the job security of the reigning NL manager of the year, Pat Murphy. When it comes to stupid things that have been said, that one's got to rank right up there. Have you heard dumber things than that in recent memory, Jeff?
Sure, but I live with two teenage boys. So, you know, like dumb rhetoric is kind of like part of my life these days. In terms of bad baseball takes, it's up there. I think it's just, it's funny to me how like diehard baseball fans still can't help themselves. Like, it's a 162 game season. You could have a bad month, like a really bad month, and still be a postseason team. But in the midst of that bad month, and we're seeing it with the Yankees now, we're seeing it with the Mets, we've seen it with other organizations. In the middle of that bad month, you can't remind yourself. Logic just doesn't take over anymore. And you drive yourself crazy with these short-term thoughts. And I think firing Pat Murphy probably falls into that category.
What do you see from this team right now? We'll get into the Miz and Brandon Woodruff's return. What have you seen from this team, and what do you make of it now on July 7th that maybe people were not seeing when Jesse was calling for Pat Murphy's job?
It's such an interesting team, isn't it? Because when you watch them, they play good baseball. Like, the pitching that they've gotten all year long outside of that first weekend of the season against the Yankees, whether it's Freddie Peralta or Chad Patrick or Quinn Priester or Logan Henderson or Jacob Mizorowski or Jose Quintana. I mean, we can go on and on about the starting pitching they've gotten. It's been phenomenal, like top to bottom, and it's carried them to this point. What do I see otherwise? I think the Brewers are one big bat away from being a legitimate World Series contender. Like, I think that's what the ceiling of this team is. And I think they could probably use another relief arm, though, honestly, the way that McGill and Mears and Uribe have pitched this year, the way that Ashby has looked lately in particular, it's like, man, they keep adding, and they keep getting better. And I'm really looking forward to seeing how this team plays in the second half of the season, because it's been alluring lately to see what the Brewers not just are right now, but what they have going forward, because going forward, it looks really good too.
Jeff, what is that's a fascinating comment, one big bet. What are the opportunities, and do you think Milwaukee can acquire somebody that is that big bat that would actually fit within the budget of what the Brewers can afford?
Well, let's talk about that right there. I'm tired of the Brewers being constrained by what they can or cannot afford. This is an organization that, starting with David Stearns and now with Matt Arnold, has been among the most consistent in all of baseball. They win, and they win, and they win. And it's like almost 10 years now consecutive of either first place or second place in the National League Central. And I get it. You know, the playoffs have not treated them particularly well. They haven't been past the division series since 2018. Like, there have been some failures there, but that they've done this on the kind of budget that they have and have been able to continue winning, it says to me, like, at some point, Mark Adonisio needs to step forward and give a little bit more in terms of resources. And I don't know if that's at this deadline, because honestly, guys, there just aren't a lot of big bats that are likely to be available. Like, that's the problem. I'm suggesting a solution that might not exist. You know, as soon as I say Eugenio Suarez, who's been awesome for the Diamondbacks this year, you come back at me and say, well, Caleb Durbin's been arguably the Brewers' best hitter for the last 2 weeks, so why are we going out and replacing him? And if you look at other positions, like, you're not replacing William Contreras, you're not going to really find that big of an upgrade over Rhys Hoskins, or a big enough upgrade to warrant the deal. You're not doing anything with Bryce Terang. Isaac Collins has been shockingly good in left field. Jackson Churio, I wish he would walk. I wish he could get on base more, but he's still your guy in center. And Sal Frelick has been really good. So, like, and Christian Yelich, DH. I mean, I went through the whole lineup there, guys, and the only person I didn't mention is Joey Ortiz, and there are no shortstops available at the deadline. So I'm not sure what the Brewers are going to do at this point. It feels like it's going to need to be creative, whatever it is.
Jeff, what has been the secret sauce? Because you did mention, you know, it's been 10 years, and I know there's, you know, a lot of Brewer fans are frustrated that they haven't went and made the big splash a la C.C. Sabathia back in 08. We haven't seen that. It's been just development and bringing guys in. Is this just the organization and how they're set up that has allowed them to be this successful? Is it Matt Arnold and David Stearns are just smarter than everybody else?
I don't think they're smarter than – David Stearns might be smarter than everyone else. He's really smart. And Matt Arnold, you know what? If I were smart, I would not be sitting next to my dogs right now. Like, what am I doing?
That sounds pretty smart to me.
Not really, because there's a 7-month-old puppy right here, and she keeps trying to steal this yak chew from her older sister who doesn't like her very much. And now she's chewing on her tail. This is going to end great, let me tell you. I think what the Brewers have done, and both Stearns and Arnold are owed a lot of credit for this, because Matt Arnold was around when David Stearns was putting this into place. The Brewers have really good processes. And I don't, you know, you hear something like processes, and you're like, okay, that's nerdy. How can that actually have a tangible effect on this team being effective at winning ball games? But I want to use the Brewers International unit, for example. The Milwaukee Brewers were nothing in Latin America until a decade ago. They had no presence. They had, it was just if they got a prospect out of the Dominican Republic or Venezuela, it wasn't by accident, but it wasn't a very commonplace thing. Now, with Jesus Mate and with Luis Peña and with a number of other guys that we can point to, they have become real players down there. And it's because they understand that they need to be strong in areas where they can cost-effectively get players. That's the draft, and that's Latin America. And they have devoted resources and energy and hired really intelligent people to figure out how to do that. And that bears fruit, guys. They've taken risks. Like Jacob Mizorowski, I understand we look at him now and it's like, well, okay, yeah, of course he's good. He's 6'7" and throws 102. Who else was going to miss that? every team passed up on him. Literally every team passed up on him. Could have had him in the first round, but I think the Brewers saw the potential to develop, and those systems being in place, the talent identification and the development system that the Brewers have is just really, really good. And they've taken advantage of that, and that's what you have to do when you don't have an owner who's going to go out there and spend much.
Just nationally, I know locally, Miz, you're getting sellouts when he's pitching on a Wednesday. The excitement level here is super high. Is he viewed as, we heard the promo coming in, Randy Johnson? How is he looked at nationally as we sit here right now?
Yeah, he's not looked at as Randy Johnson. We're four starts in. Like,
okay.
Pump the brakes a little bit.
All right, a little bit. You can be excited, though.
Yeah, you can be.
Hey, it was your promo, Jeff, not mine. I don't know who put that up, but I got you.
I'll say this. He's got potential to be a frontline starter, like a legitimate number one. And when you look around the sport, guys, how many actual number ones are there? How many guys would you point at and say, not he's the opening day starter, not he's the top of the rotation, that guy is a one? There are like a half dozen of them, maybe. Mizorowski can be a one. His command is much better than I thought it was going to be. And I'll be honest. I was like, you know, when you have a band that you know before everyone else, and you feel kind of good about that.
Mm.
Like, hey, I knew those guys before they were popular. Jacob Mizorowski trained at the same pitching facility that my son threw at and has the same coach here in Kansas City. So I was getting video on Mizorowski and TrackMan profiles years ago and looked at it and I was like, oh my God, who is this guy? And back then he just couldn't throw enough strikes. But the Brewers have done a great job of figuring out how to get the best out of him. And, over the course of his first four starts, he has shown why they've been so high on.
Jeff, Freddy Peralta has been the workhorse for this team for a long time. His contract runs through, I believe, next season. I know you're the small market part of this is a conversation that we could have for another day, but how would you advise, or what do you think Milwaukee ends up doing here? Do you think they find a way to keep him, or is this one of those deals you have to figure out when and how you trade him? What are you hearing, or what do you think happens with Peralta?
I mean, I think until this recent run, Peralta was regarded as somebody who might be traded. Like, the Josh Hader deal a few years ago, I think, really changed the expectation for the Brewers. Up until that point, they had never sent out a guy in the middle of a season where they were winning who was integral to that winning. Mm-hmm. And yet, out of it, they got William Contreras. And so, while at the time, fans, I think, were rightly and understandably aggrieved by it, guess what? Brewers front office did it again. And so, I think that bought them some capital, but let's pretend that Milwaukee Brewers fans are like Tampa Bay Rays fans. Like, it's a whole different thing in Milwaukee. You have much more history. You have much, much more passion. You have just a much more loyal and devoted group. And whereas with the Rays, I think their fans understand, like, you cycle guys in and out. That's the way we win in a small market. I don't know that Brewers fans would be feeling very good about a Freddie Peralta trade at this point. So I think this is the sort of thing that we could likely see in the offseason, because what the Brewers have done with their rotation this year illustrates that they have enough starting pitching to get along just fine without Freddie Peralta. You don't want to do it in a year where you have a chance to potentially win a championship, but if you can keep building, keep adding, and turn it into something that helps the 2026 team and beyond, it has to be something that you consider this winter.
Talking with ESPN's Jeff Passan on Wilde and Tausch, with his dogs nearby, and as someone who has his dogs bark during the radio show on a regular basis, yours are far more well-behaved, and this is a safe space if they do act up. Jeff, you mentioned the hater trade. It wasn't just fans, though, right? I mean, that clubhouse was pissed when they made that trade.
Sure.
And obviously, he's been great this year. I think he's 25 out of 25 on his save. Like, there's that danger, too, right, of a trade that it doesn't just tick off the fan base, but you lose your clubhouse, and that is not a good scene.
No, it's not. And I think that is a very fair point. But I will say this with regards to Hader now. The Brewers were never re-signing Hader.
Right.
Like, that was not happening. They're not going to spend $95 million on a closer. It's not the way that they operate, man. So he was bound to be moved. And Freddie Peralta, I mean, Freddie Peralta signed a pretty team-friendly deal. So you know that when he's 30 years old and hitting free agency, this is going to be his chance to cash in. And so he's not going to friendly deal at this point. That's not in the cards for him. He wants to get paid. And, I mean, aside from Christian Yelich, like, when was the last time that you said Milwaukee Brewers and got paid in the same sentence? Like, they don't do that. That's not part of the operation. So I don't foresee Freddie Peralta, unless he really, really wants to stay in Milwaukee, being a Brewer long term. And that's, you know, that's frustrating. And I understand any disappointment or disillusionment from fans that come for that, but just kind of the reality of it. And I try in this job to acknowledge that there is some accountability that owners have to their fan base. And that fans, you know, fans and their complaints, they are often rational. Like, they make sense. And with the Brewers, they've been so close. It's like, can't we do something just to push them over the hump here? Can't there be just a little more? And that, with everything that the Brewers have been through over the past decade, is a perfectly fair and reasonable request by fans and even by players in the clubhouse.
All right, two more things, Jeff, and then we'll let you go. One, you mentioned starting pitching. Brandon Woodruff returns and is victorious in his return. I saw Robert Gasser is starting to face hitters, at least, as he's working his way back from that reconstructive surgery. What do you think of what this team has beyond the pitchers that we've just talked about? And having Woodruff back has to give them an enormous boost.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how Woodruff holds up over time, because the stuff is different. This is not the Brandon Woodruff who has, like, 100 in the tank. You know, we've seen Brandon Woodruff, the power pitcher. I feel like this is Brandon Woodruff 2.0. You know, this is Brandon Woodruff with a cutter and Brandon Woodruff with a sweeper. It's a different pitcher than we've seen in the past. And being more of that command and control guy than the just overwhelming power guy, look, at 94, you can survive, right? And that's where his fastball was yesterday. It's not the 96 that we typically saw, but that's okay. You can be effective like that. And I didn't know what to think when he was coming back. I really had no idea what he was going to look like, and I think yesterday was a pleasant surprise.
All right, and the most important question, and it's not what is an EIF, but I saw your post that Jack, your son, has committed to Williams College. And congratulations on that. That's awesome. I did try to find some gear. Their store is closed on their website, so I like to wear random college hoodies, and I'll have to track one down there. But I am curious about something. Tausch's kids have a former NFL player as a dad. Our girls have a sports writer as a dad, as do Jack and your other son. I'm curious. I always feel like being around all these coaches and players, it gives us a little bit of an interesting perspective that we can impart some of their knowledge of how they get through adversity and how they train and what they say about effort and work ethic that we can pass on. Do you do any of that with your boys, or are they just gifted because your wife is a great athlete and they got her genes like mine did?
I 100% do that with them because nobody knows what it's like to be a professional athlete or to be a high stakes athlete like someone who's actually done it. I can pretend, but all I'm doing is just taking the collected wisdom that I've gleaned throughout many years of doing this and trying to pass it along. That being said, he doesn't listen to me. Why? No, I mean, which is fine. Which, like, that's, you know what? Whatever it takes, I'll come up to him, you know, like with some audio that I had talking with a player, and try and play it for him. And after I play it for him, he'll just look at me and be like, okay.
Oh my God!
What can you do?
Been there.
What can you do? Yeah, the problem is he's way smarter than me, and I know this, and so it's to the point now where I haven't given up, but like he's got things under control. He didn't want me to help with recruiting at all. I didn't help with recruiting at all, and he got into the college that he wanted to get into. So God bless him.
Well, we wish him luck, both there and as he finishes up high school. But Jeff, I'm sorry Jesse wasn't here. I know this wasn't nearly as enjoyable for you. Thanks, Jeff.
Bye, guys.
That is the great Jeff Passan, who is always so generous with his time with us, whether Jesse's here or not. God, he's so good, and we're so much smarter every time we get to talk to him.
I'll tell you this. There's a lot, and I know Hunter will be just plowing through because he said some things there.
He did.
He's basically saying it's time to pony up. That's what I heard. It's time to make a big splash and that it's nice and all this, but he thinks that this team with the pitching and everything else, it's win now. And how often do we hear that when it comes to the Milwaukee Brewers?
No, it is time for a big splash, kind of like you like to make a big splash by having a Coors Light when you're overheating and you need the silver bullet.
It was a muggy weekend and a lot of Coors Light drank. And whether you're tailgating pregame, having a cookout, sitting at a pool party, doesn't matter. It's cracking open a Rocky Mountain cold Coors Light, brewed with that three-step cold process, cold lager, cold filtered. And it is cold packaged because it is made to chill. You know I love it. Make sure those mountains are blue. That's when you know it is chilled to perfection. Celebrate responsibly, Coors Brewing Company. A Golden, Colorado.
More next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Your state, your teams, your ESPN. The ESPN Wisconsin app. Customizable just to you. Find the ESPN Wisconsin app in the Apple or Android app stores today.
Remember the nights when we...
I think the Brewers are one big bat away from being a legitimate World Series contender. Like, I think that's what the ceiling of this team is.
I don't know if you could see my
face when Jeff Passan said that on the YouTube stream or on Twitter or Facebook. That's a big matzo ball out there. That's a big statement. Now, he goes on to explain that he's not exactly sure where you're going to find that bat or put that bat if they were to try to acquire it, and he says that they'll have to get creative. But Tausch, for a team that had certain people on the panel questioning the manager not that long ago, for Jeff Passan to say that, what went through your head?
Well, I think we all, every team could use a big bat. I think that tells me that, you know, nationally the Brewers are looked at in a very positive light. They have the pitching that can get it done. But that wasn't even the most interesting thing that he said, that Jeff Passan said with us there. I think it was more kind of similar to what we were talking about last year, the expectation game, and the fact that this team and this franchise, while I think we all understand that there's some economic headwinds against it because of some of the other markets, the time is now. And it felt to me as if Jeff Passan was saying, hey, guys, you've done this. You've figured ways to do it on a budget. Sometimes upgrade to first class. Don't always sit in the back of the bus. Move it on up. And I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, Jason. As I was listening to him, he was saying, Mark Attanasio, go spend some money this season and make a push because you got Woody, you got Peralta. Who knows if that's going to be the case next season with the trade? Go make a splash. Go make a big splash. You can do it. And I would bet there's a lot of Brewers fans that feel the same way.
Yeah, there's more to it, and I know that Hunter during the breaks will work on cutting up some of that audio. That was a short one that started my ooh experience with Jeff that continued through a number of other things he said. There's no question about that. We'll get to more of that a little bit later in the show. If you missed the interview that we're talking about, it'll be available on the podcast. You can get it on YouTube. I know Pablo is cutting up some of it too as well for our social media channels, but Jeff's the best, and his insights and his thoughts were pretty big time to be thinking about the Brewers in those terms, especially for those of us that, as you and I did, watched just a bit outside not that long ago. To use the words World Series with the Brewers, which is not something that has happened very many times since 1982, that gets your attention, and we'll talk more about it as we roll on. But we want to get to the Packers and our discussions that we had on Saturday at Summerfest with Gabe Neitzel and Alex Strofe on the State of the Packers show. We'll do that coming up. Want to remind you, though, that we've got a great new partner on Wilde and Tausch, and Josh and the team that put this together. I'm just really excited to be part of it. It is Lakeland Supply, and we all know that core values are an important piece to any successful business, and Lakeland Supply is no different. They've been displaying their core values in the industrial supply space for over 40 years. Integrity, excellence, stewardship, partnership, and faith. They're ISO certified, a Future 50 winner, top rated in customer satisfaction, and they believe in giving back to the community. Lakeland isn't one of those catalog companies. They work to be your packaging and supply expert, building plans around what you want. Lakeland Supply is in business to make your business better. So set up a free packaging and supply chain assessment at lakelandsupply.com. That's lakelandsupply.com. The 10 o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch starts in 2 minutes, so stick around.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.